This is episode 7. Today is Wednesday, the 9th. Kind of shocked that we actually got around to doing a show. I didn't think it was going to be possible this week with everybody running around and our busy schedules and whatnot. I was gone. As some of you read on the site, I had to take off. I went up to go see my dad. He lives up in the Chico area. I was there. I came back. I was too tired to do the show. Woke up early this morning because I thought I had a doctor appointment today. It's actually tomorrow, so I guess I'll get to do that tomorrow. But that's boring stuff. We don't want to hear about work and stuff because work sucks. We all know that. We all, well, a good lot of us hate our jobs. So, what do we do for relaxation? We play games. And we like to talk about games a lot. Too bad I'm not very good at it when I'm sitting here by myself. Sit here and expect lots of ums and Well, what about next? I want to save the news about the mods, about modding your consoles until I get Ode on the line, because I know he's got a lot to talk about this. He's been thinking about doing this, and I believe he actually ordered himself a mod chip. I've got some interesting news about that. So, hopefully, we'll get to talk to him a little bit later, and we can bring that stuff up. Until then, time killing is what we've got to do now. We got some email, which is really cool. You know, that's fucking awesome. We don't get a whole lot of mail yet, you know, from the two people that listen to the show, I'm sure. We got a we got an email from a guy who calls himself, I'm going to screw this guy's nickname up too, Svetsnaz C4. He's probably searching for himself on Google and somehow came across our site and started listening to the show. I know lots of matches come up for C4, though. He brought up a couple of really cool things in an email. He asked me about game endings that we thought were really awesome and game endings that, you know, we thought really sucked. I talked to Hooks about this the day that we got this email, and you can kind of tell Hooks doesn't play, like, or hasn't been playing games for years like some of us have, because he thinks the best game ending he's ever seen, I haven't seen it, so it's probably really cool, is the ending for Ghost Recon, which is, you know, that game they have on the PC and the Xbox where it's like the real-life combat kind of Counter-Strike-ish type, I guess, of game where you pick a squad of guys and you go out and have to defeat the terrorists or whatnot, you know. I guess at the end of that, you get to see a bunch of kids running around in this nice sunset up, you know, and there's a tank sitting there. I don't know, he thought it was really cool. So that's pretty neat. I like the longer endings that give a little bit more insight into the game itself, the characters in the game itself. And, of course, I had to pick Final Fantasy VI, which I thought had such a good ending. I mean, you know, you play this game for so long, and you get really into the characters. You start to, you know, identify with a few of them. I mean, it really helps, too, that you can name your characters in that game. I think that that just helps get you into the game more, picking the names for your characters, because then it's a little bit more personalized. And more games, I think, need to have that, where you can name your role-playing games. You know, I don't care about playing Super Mario Brothers and changing the guy's name. You know, but role-playing games, since you're going to be spending a lot of time with this game, you're going to want to feel an attachment. You're going to want to, you know, I mean, you want to get into these emotions, and you know, you get wrapped up in the story. You need all the help you can get sometimes, because some of the games are pretty bad. Like, a lot of American RPGs aren't that great. It doesn't seem like I care for my characters as much when I'm playing something like Baldur's Gate or Icewind Dale, you know. You don't have, like, a bond with them. I don't know if it's their method of storytelling or their method of gameplay, but for me, it doesn't have the same emotional attachment like the Japanese RPGs have. You know, where I really care about my characters, and, you know, you get really caught up in the story. I mean, you know, Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and so on and so forth, they have great stories, too, but they're just not quite as refined, I guess, and not as epic feeling sometimes. Sure, you're out to save the world, but, you know, if you're, you know, when you're in a combat, you don't care if your mage dies or your thief gets killed or whatever. You think, oh, I can just resurrect him. No big deal. You know, in some of these Japanese RPGs I've been playing, it's like, you don't even want to get your guys killed in combat. You know, you're like, no, I got to keep them alive. Don't hurt them. So, I think we talked about that before, but I thought Final Fantasy VI's ending was just fantastic, because the big draw was that you get to see what happens after the game, not just play the game, get really into your characters, and then save the world, and that's it. You know, I mean, you got to witness what they do after that, and it kind of ties up a lot of the stuff, and you know, that happens to each individual character. It was really great. So I thought that was my favorite ending. I mean, I'm biased, I'm sure, because it happens to be my favorite RPG. And then he asked us, you know, what we thought was, like, the hardest game that we played that had the shittiest ending. And Hooks told me that he didn't like the NBA Live 2003 for the Xbox. I guess it's got season mode, you know, like all these great sports games have these days. And he says after playing through 82 games or whatever the season is and winning it all, you know, you don't even get, like, a nice parade or nothing. He says it takes you right back to the menu to start a new season over again. That's pretty weak. I mean, come on. You know, you went through all that. You should get something cool. So, I don't know. I had kind of an old-school game, I thought, which was the hardest game I ever played that I couldn't stand. I was so disappointed in the ending. It's called Jaws, and it was out for the Nintendo Entertainment System. you know, Jaws, the based off the movie with the shark and whatnot. And this game was so bad, and I just had to play because a friend of mine, he never could beat it. He said, "Here, give it a try. You know, if I know anybody that can beat this game, it's gonna be you." So, you know, that just inspired me to go out and try to beat this game that afternoon. And it took me about 2 days of playing that game nonstop. And the whole thing of it is the game is really simple. All you do is you float your little boat around or your submarine out in sea and shoot Jaws as he comes by occasionally. And you have to collect seashells or something. It's been a long time since I've played this. Collect seashells to buy crap for your ship or something, or maybe the more you have, the sooner you get to see Jaws or something. And it's just really monotonous. He swims by the screen, you gotta dodge him and then turn around and shoot him as he swims by and get as many shots off as you can. And then after you, it takes quite a few rounds of doing this until you can get to the scene where the idea is it shows the front of the boat. And Jaws comes up out of the water, and you gotta you push the button, and your boat kind of lurches forward, and you try to stick him on the end of the boat. And I tell you what, that was the hardest damn thing I ever did. I mean, and if you didn't do it, you only had about 3 tries to do it right once. If you didn't manage to do it, you had to go back again and kill him again. You know, sure, you had more powerful weapons, and he didn't heal all the way, but it still sucked ass, and the ending was just pathetic. You just see this screen with Jaws float down to the bottom of the ocean. You know, thanks for playing. You know, putting all that time in to our great game that we obviously put a lot of time in. Screw it. Now, that game really sucks, so. he also, Spetnaz C4, he mentioned that, we were talking about the show itself, and, you know, I really thought that, I've been thinking about this for a while now, having some kind of a, you know, we need to change it up or something. Maybe add a little bit different format to the show or something. I wasn't quite sure what to do. It mostly works fine, I think. Just, you know, let us know. Email us, gamer@hwhq.com. The email address is on the site. And, well, we tossed around a few ideas. A meet the hosts idea would be kind of neat, I think. It would just be kind of fun to sit around and just... Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be that long. I'm sure hearing us talk about our private lives is pretty friggin' boring for an hour especially, so I'm sure it wouldn't be that long. But if I could get everybody together, that would be kind of neat just to talk about, you know, how we know each other and, you know, what we're really into, you know, why we like certain games and, you know, how this has affected our life and stuff like that. I think it'd be kind of neat to do, so look for that one day whenever I can get everybody back together. We've got everybody kind of split up right now, so... It's going to be a while, but it gives us something to do, you know, I mean, bring something else to you. Hopefully we won't use it for a cop-out on a show that we just end up not doing 1 week and just sit around and talk about ourselves and have that only available. Hopefully it'll be like an addition, you know, we'll have a show and that maybe 1 week. We also talked about, with Spetnaz C4, and I talked about these, a themed show and maybe a speed review round, and it's, you know, maybe talk about X amount of games in X amount of seconds and just say whether or not they suck or whatever. My only problem with this is that we're broke, so we can't afford, obviously, to go out and buy every game under the sun and rip through the, you know, and play them all the time, because unfortunately we do have to work 40 hours a week and some pretty screwed up shifts, so we can't just sit around and play all day long, and as much as we'd like to, we can't do that. Do have responsibilities, and we gotta fund the few games that we do have. We gotta, you know, come up with the green for that somehow. The idea would be just to you know, just run down a whole list of games and say really quick what we thought about them without getting really into detail, because, you know, an hour, it is a lot of time to ask from you, but when we're sitting around here talking about it, sometimes it goes pretty quick if we're talking about something we're really into. Some games that, you know, we really like, it goes pretty fast. And it goes a lot quicker than it should sometimes. We don't have enough time to talk about as many games as we'd like to be able to talk about. So that's why we try to not talk about the games that suck too bad, even though I notice, you know, there's a lot of games out there that suck, and we do end up thrashing on them all. And, you know, it's cool because we all have different opinions of the same game. Everybody's tastes are different. I think it'd be pretty neat, though, to work something out. The idea is that I don't want to just, you know, take the reviews from the magazines and... just basically, you know, regurgitate it to you guys. You know, it just seems like that's their opinion, you know, and I don't really care what the magazines say. But, you know, I want my opinion, and, you know, that's what you guys are, you know, this is what everybody's out there listening for. you know, different opinions than what IGN, who is now Future Network USA or whatever they call themselves. All the magazines are owned by the same damn company, so they changed now. Something happened. You know, I'm tired of their opinion all the time. I mean, you know, a good lot of the time, you know, some, you know, they know what they're talking about, but not all the time. So, you know, you can't put 100%, same with us, you know, we, and, you know, everybody has different tastes, so you can't agree with everybody all the time, obviously. So, we've been trying to get our hands on more demo CDs. Unfortunately, you know, they only come out about once a month, and going back on eBay and finding some old demo CDs from past episode or past issues from these magazines isn't so great, because then you get a bunch of old games that everybody's already played already. So we're trying to stay, you know, with you know, new stuff, something interesting to talk about that's new and not, you know, old news to everybody. And it's a little tough to do these speed rounds, but maybe, you know, we'll figure something out where we do just, you know, put like a disclaimer up there. These are the opinions based off of Xbox Magazine and, you know, whoever else, Electronic Gaming World and GamePro and all that crap. And this is what they say. Just to get it out there as a general idea of what they seem to think. Maybe the game didn't get enough hype, or they didn't pay them enough to run ads in their magazines or whatever, so they got a bad review. The themed shows idea is really cool, and I've actually thought about this before with a couple of different things. Mainly, in my mind, I was thinking about, like, an emulation special and a Linux game special, where all we talked about was, you know, old-school games that you can run on emulators now, because a lot of people aren't, you know, too into the scene out there. And then there's some of us that's, you know, takes up a good amount of our time is playing these old games that were just so great, you know, and keeping up with the new versions of the emulators and all the crap that goes on in, you know, on the forums and all that stuff. It's pretty interesting stuff, so, you know, we're going to have to work on that. And Linux games, as far as I'm concerned, it's just there's so little news out there, few and far between, that we might just have to work it into a little section once a month or something to talk about, because, you know, there are Linux gamers out there. I enjoy playing games on my server here. Oh, looks like Ode's back. Okay, let me give him a call, see what's going on.
Enter your authorization code now. Please enter your destination
now. Ah, crap. I need his phone number.
Your current balance will allow you to talk for 18 hours, 3 minutes. Thank you. Please wait.
Hey. What's up? Can you hear me pretty well?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Okay, cool. And you look pretty good, too, on the recording here.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. No. Check this out. I went down to Radio Shack yesterday when I got back from Chico, and they had this three-line phone for $45 or $50. It's got hold and speakerphone, a little place to plug in my headphones, which my Xbox live communicator thing headset job works just fine on.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet. We're actually going to cut each other off, right?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I don't have, like, $500 to spend on phone equipment and mixers and stuff. Yeah, it works well enough. I did go ahead and start without you a little bit. I've only been going for about 10 minutes here, and I'm pretty sure I'm boring the shit out of everybody.
Really?
I didn't really I didn't get into anything too game-related, just a couple of, just an email I got from a guy talking about the show itself.
Okay.
So, since you're here now, let me just wrap it up. We were talking about themed shows, and I was talking about how I'd like to do a show on, like, a whole episode on emulation. So I think that'd be pretty neat one day. I don't know. I know you're not too big on the old games like that.
You know me. I like to play the latest stuff all the time. But some of the old games are really cool, you know.
Yeah. Some of the old games are great, which is why I play them. But in the face of today's games, sometimes it's a little hard to pick up, you know, an old Final Fantasy when you're looking at Final Fantasy X and everybody's wowed by the graphics and stuff.
Yeah, you got to go back to like the 2D look with a little pixelated character that just kind of. Had like 3 frames for walking. You know, it's hard to go back.
The best is when they're laughing though, and they show their heads like bob down like one pixel, and their shoulders go up one pixel, and then down and up again.
Oh yeah, they're shaking their shoulders.
Yeah, that's the best.
In Golden Sun, how they do all the you can play with the characters. I mean, like they're so animated all the time when they're walking around.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, they like
Yeah, it's really neat. I like it, though. I mean, it's pretty neat. You're going to end up having to go buy Golden Sun 2, I guarantee you that.
I will, yeah. As soon as I finish this one. But I got a good time then, I think, so I won't have that gap, you know.
Yeah, which really sucks, because it's been a couple of months since Golden Sun 1 came out. We're just now seeing Golden Sun 2, and I'm you know, forgot a good part of the story.
No, I should probably order it, like, as I get near the end of the game, just so I don't have a downtime, you know, just to go pick up the next one.
Good idea. And the trick to figuring out where the end of that game is keep an eye on the map, because when you get towards the bottom of the map, you're coming towards the end of the game, because, like, opposite of what you would think, oh, there's got to be another island because I'm only halfway through this game. No, it does end and basically makes you buy Golden Sun 2.
Well, but you can't bring your characters over, right? I mean, I can't see any way they would do that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can. You can import your characters. And a really cool thing about that game, we talked about it last week on the show here, that you get to play two parties at the same time. I don't want to ruin the ending for you, but you get to play your party from this one and a party from the new game at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Well, not simultaneous, but you can switch in between. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
But have you import the games? I mean, how would they do that?
You know, maybe, I have no idea, really. Maybe they have some kind of a code that you can put into the Game Boy with the original one in, and it gives you, like, a code, and nobody knew what the key presses were to make it show the code or something to import your character. I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they do it through an uplink. You have to have another Game Boy Advance to do it, or... I think that would work, you know? You hook them up like a two-player mode and just copy the characters over. Because you can't, like, remove the cartridge to put a new one in, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't work. You know, you're probably right about that link, though, because that's what they did with the Zelda games on the Game Boy Advance. You got a code, and you got the ability to use the link cable. That's going to suck, though. Do you know anybody down there with a Game Boy Advance?
No.
Of course not.
But they'll be adding in the paper, hey, I need to copy my Gold Sun game. We'll help you copy yours, too. It's all over the place.
They'll have, like, character transfer fests and stuff, a bunch of people at a big convention center.
Yeah, yeah, like, they'll have a staged event for it, you know?
That'd be pretty cool, though. I'd like to go to something like that.
That would kick ass, actually.
It would be. Sit in a room with a whole bunch of gamers.
Oh, yeah. Sit there bullshit about it. Be like, yeah, this game rocked. And that game sucked. And, yeah, this is awesome. And, hey, can we play together? You know?
That would be cool. You know, you can meet a lot of cool people in your area, too, to play games against, you know, or with.
Yeah, I got a few people I play games with, but, like, some of them, you know, I mean, it depends what games I'm playing. Like, I haven't met one person in the area that can touch me in Warcraft 3, which sucks. You know?
Well, yeah, but you're, like, God on that game. You and your buddy in Canada.
Maybe we played too damn much.
I know. Yeah. Way too much. You know, just before I got off the phone with you earlier, we were talking about, mods.
Yeah, for the PlayStation 2 and all that.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch upon that a little bit because I found some interesting news, too, in the last couple of minutes here. I don't know if this was... I think this was just posted today. I actually stole this link off of the front of Fuck IGN. I don't know if you ever check those guys out. It's phuck-ign.com. Those guys are pretty awesome over there. They keep on top of the stuff, and I just happened to see this story that really caught my eye. Jail sentence and fine for a mod chip retailer... Here in the States, are you familiar with ISO News?
Somewhat. So they jailed somebody for making a mod?
Well, what he did on that site was he posted all the new releases by the groups out there. Like, you know, when you get on Kazaa and whatnot and Nutella and you're out there downloading all those pirate games and shit, you know how they have, like, a group association, you know, like the Ripper group or whoever? Like Razer and Deviants and all them guys, right? Well, this guy, like, kept track of... I imagine the groups themselves posted to it. This guy kept track of everything. Who released what, like, file sizes and the information files that are in the rips and everything. I mean, it was, like, the one-stop place to go to figure out what you're looking for.
They put him in jail?
Well, I don't think they put him in jail for that. Because, I mean, there's nothing inherently illegal about that.
I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, they put him in jail because he was selling Xbox mod chips, the Enigma chip.
Illegal?
Well, it's... I'm not 100% sure on the legality of it as a whole. My understanding was is the mod chip itself was legal. I mean, there's nothing illegal about a piece of, you know, PC board, right?
Yeah.
But it's the BIOS that is on the chip, on your mod chip. It's this BIOS software, because it's usually some kind of hack, you know, off of the real BIOS for whatever console it is that you're trying to install this mod chip to. So check this out. A man found guilty, so this is already said and done, I guess, of selling mod chips on his website in breach of the DMCA has been sentenced to 5 months imprisonment, $28,500 fine.
Jeez.
I know, huh? It was, the Enigma mod chip. I'm trying not to use the computer here that's running Audacity to record the show. I've got the server, so I gotta like reach over for the mouse.
Okay, are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
No, good to know.
Yeah, definitely good to know. So yeah, that's pretty messed up. That's not too bad of a sentence. I mean, okay, it still sucks and it's still way too much. But compared to some of the shit that goes on and some of the sentences that people get, that's not, you know, too bad.
Well, I mean, you gotta look at it the other way around, though. I mean, they sentence hackers who hack into corporate mainframes and steal millions of dollars to a couple of years in prison. And, I mean, as much as, you know, I mean, I support hackers and all, but that's reasonable. You know, you steal a couple million dollars from somebody, you deserve to spend some time in jail. That's how it works. But if you're selling mod chips, you're not really costing Microsoft money. I mean, they could try to find the roundabout way that you're doing it, but it's not, you're not stealing directly from them. You're just making something that people can use in their own box. I guess you're copying the code for the BIOS, but it just seems a little severe for that.
It definitely does. Well, you know, we could go on and on about the hacker thing, because, you know, probably not most everybody knows that those figures are inflated. You know, the couple million dollars, they usually don't steal money, they're just there to read something. And the fact that they read that information, they say, oh, well, that's $80 million of information you read there and that you can't use for anything and are not going to use for anything, but that's a different, you know, show, you know. But as far as the has to do with the mod chips and the games, this is under the DMCA, which doesn't actually have anything to do with money. Remember, this just says, you know, anything that modifies existing hardware, you know, or copied security circumvention devices.
Yeah.
So that in itself, I guess, is illegal under the DMCA, which is horrible.
It's not like you're running a burglar system through your Xbox or something. I mean, this is, you know, we're talking video games here. And we're talking some guy spending 5 months in prison for making a chip that lets you play more video games.
Trying to play devil's advocate, yeah, this may just be video games, but video games is a $10 billion a year industry now. So, you know, it is big money.
But past the movie industry.
Yay, screw you, Hollywood.
Yeah, good news.
Yeah, because fucking Hollywood movies suck these days. But, again, we can get into that some other time. This is, I don't know, I think it's total fucking bullshit. I'm really hoping that, did you order a chip today, or what happened?
Yeah, I ordered a PS2 mod chip.
Which one? Magic?
I don't remember the name of it. Was that
Magic 3.1 or something?
The name of it. And I got the clip kit for it, too. The Magic or something?
Yeah, the Magic 3.1, I think it was. Yeah, yeah. And where is it coming from?
I have no idea. It was all American dollars. The site had, but it could be a foreign site that just ships and, you know, caters to just American customers.
Yeah, it could be. If you get a chance in the next couple minutes, try to check that out just to see where it's shipping from. I'm curious to know because, a lot of places are probably going to start getting shut down or they're going to disappear now that they're probably afraid of what has happened to, what's the guy's name, David Rocky? Who ran ISO News, it looks like, this is a message to everybody out there who sells mod chips in the United States.
I don't like it. I mean, I don't know.
This is some fucking bullshit.
It's messed up.
Yeah, this is some fucking bullshit here if I ever heard some bullshit. I mean, come on. Thank God. Thank God they can't, you know, do too much to other countries. They're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying.
I mean, Asian server now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they eventually had to move it. Blizzard kept tracking it down, so they threw it right away from the country.
Holy shit, that is the awesomest thing I've ever heard, those guys.
They got a badass operation going. Now they have a ladder that counts everything. You know, they have a free-for-all ladder, 2v2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, random teams, solo, and just matchmaking on everything. And it all works great.
Awesome, awesome. And what version is the beta up to now?
They're up to version, I think it's 305, yeah. 305A, actually. It made, 305 had a bug where you could pick those tomes that would permanently increase your hero stats, and you could use it like 100 times.
Oh, my God.
Way to go, Blizzard.
Yeah, really? Damn.
It was so bad that Warforged reset the ladder when 305A was released with the fix.
Holy
crap. Because a lot of people just really start climbing the ladder with that bug.
Yeah, I bet. And I'm sure that not everybody knew about it, right? I mean, was this an obvious bug? Like, it stayed around or what?
Well, it was around for a weekend. Because they patched out Friday, and Blizzard, I guess the employees weren't working Saturday and Sunday, and they released the patch Monday to fix it. And so basically for 3 days... this is actually good news. For 3 days, everyone was abusing it. It was ridiculous. You'd start playing. You'd tell the guy, hey, I'm not going to abuse it. If you don't abuse it, he goes, okay, well, I won't abuse it. And the first thing he does is go off and, you know, come back with, like, 300 agility and on his Blade Master and just hack your whole base up. Nothing you can do. I mean, the guy, he'd mow your base down in a couple seconds. It was, like, great. You know, he's got this godlike hero coming in.
Oh, my God.
But the Warforged did something very interesting. This is kind of funny when you think about it. Warforged was actually banning users for abusing the tome bug.
Warforged was?
Yes.
Wow.
And Blizzard wasn't. Blizzard didn't ban anybody. Yeah, they haven't banned anybody off the beta for doing anything.
Well.
They banned people off the regular one for hacking the bed. You know, they didn't ban anyone off the beta. Warforged banned people for abusing the tome bug.
Whoa. That's not what I expected to hear at all from a server, some pirate server like that.
I know. It's like they think they're legit or something.
I know. That's crazy. That is unreal.
You got to look at why they put up Warforged. The real reason they did is just some guys wanted to play it. And they probably were playing and they got probably rooted. Some guy who was sitting there.
Tired of playing against each other.
Top people there was getting really pissed off, getting his ass kicked by all these, exploiters. So one day he's like, fuck it, we're banning a bunch of people for this, you know? And then they reset the ladder right afterwards, you know?
That is wild. I can't believe that. I don't keep up on it because I don't really play that game anymore. I didn't play shit this week. I had to... I've been messing with the server over here. I formatted it and I installed Slackware 9 on it, and I've been kind of messing with setting that up and checking out a few new things. It's pretty cool too. I'm pretty happy with it. I had Slackware 8 on there before, never made the upgrade to 8.1. I'm just lazy, you know. I mean, it's like, everything was running fine, but I just felt like messing with it. And of course, now it's not the same, but at least I got a whole bunch of drive space back now, so now I got to spend the next couple days, loading it up with all the crap it had on it. You know how that gets.
Are there any good Linux games coming out, or what's the story with that?
Oh, man.
You got the whole other field there, the whole Linux arena, which is kind of limited as far as gameplay goes right now.
Yeah, and I really, really hope that something changes with that one day. It would be nice to see... a whole bunch of games. It's nice to see that we get the big games, we get Unreal Tournaments and the Quake 3s, those huge games, but we don't get everything, which is hard for me to digest, I mean, that's just hard to take. It's like, you're telling me that I can't play every game under the sun? Fuck you!
Well, how about these emulators, things like Wine or Windows, how do they work with video games?
Not very well, but I do believe there is, let me think of what that's called. I think it's called, there's one called WineX that actually works really well from what I hear.
Really?
Yeah, I've never used it. I mean, I just don't get around to it, because the server here that runs Slack doesn't have as beefy hardware as the Windows machine here, which I use primarily for gaming and movie stuff and audio stuff. So I don't really use it for games, but, for a while I was really into checking it out, and, I played Unreal on it and Quake 3. I tried to get StarCraft to run under Wine, and I just ended up killing the machine. I mean, it just did not like that at all, but other people have had, more success than I have, so it works pretty well, and this was a while ago, though. And now they've got something called WineX that is out. I don't know, I want to say that I think you're supposed to pay for it, too, like $10 a month, or maybe it's $5 a game or $1 a game or something. I think you got to actually pay for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to, I don't know if emulate is the right word, but it handles the DirectX part of Windows.
Well, that's really the big part of it, because the rest of it's just source code.
That's probably all written in C and C++ anyway, so...
Yeah. But, no, the big thing was DirectX. I think can get a good emulation of DirectX going, then all the video games are pretty much that. You know, that and device drivers, of course, things like video cards and controllers and stuff. Not that anyone really uses a controller, but there's so many gamers out there addicted to the keyboard and mouse. It's a good interface for games nowadays. I'm all for. I'm all for.
Definitely. And glad you mentioned that, because I just had the pleasure of playing with NVIDIA's new drivers, because before, you know, when I was running Slack 8, I had that machine ran for, like, 2 years without me touching it, and once I got it all set up, I just never did anything else, because it ran perfect, and I was using, you know, old versions of the NVIDIA video card drivers. I've got a little GeForce 2MX in there. I mean, it does what it needs to do for the server, and puts stuff, movies and crap on the TV for me. But they the new drivers they've got from NVIDIA, I mean, they're really making some headway. From what I understand, I didn't use this feature because I downloaded the new ones. I'm big on keeping the install files around for everything. But I guess it can actually, it's got like some kind of an auto-update feature.
Really?
I guess. That? Yeah.
That's like totally anti-Linux. It's hilarious. Well, not the anti-Linux. That's such a break from what Linux is. You know, Linux is supposed to be hard. Not supposed to be easy and, like, massage your shoulders while it updates your software for you.
Yeah, so they'll have you believe. I mean, when I installed this thing, it comes up, well, when I tried to, at first I ran into a snag. I didn't have the kernel sources installed. And it tries to detect, I guess, all the crap you've got in your machine or something, I guess, and it tries to, or at least to detect the module. That's what it does. It tries to figure out, like, what version of the kernel you're running and what you need. It detects what kind of video card you've got. I mean, it just does it all, and then it asks you if it wants to connect to the internet and grab a precompiled binary for you to install into your system. And I mean, I tell you what, I didn't do that. I built my own with it. You know, I told it, don't go to the web, build my own off of my sources. I don't know what it is. I just have like a habit of doing that. I like it. It seems like things are just better when they're built on your machine. And it works perfect. I mean, it works fine. Once I go through the config files and change all the setting files, XF86 config, and just go through it, make sure everything works okay. You know, God, it's everything's great now.
Actually, a big change for Linux. The whole premise behind Linux is that you have to edit a million little text configuration files. They're all archaically hidden somewhere. So weird gibberish in it, to get everything to work right. This is things like that. You know, reasonable setting files, things that auto detect. You know, that's. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But keep in mind, I'm also, I don't know what it is, I'm doing things the hard way. I've tried all the other distributions, and, you know, there's nothing else out there for me except for Slackware. Debian's pretty cool. I have a couple of friends that are hooked on that, and, you know, they, we argue back and forth, you know, we jokingly, you know, have our little miniature distro wars and whatnot about it, and you know that sounds pretty cool too. But I don't know. I never got along with anything as well as I get along with Slackware. So I know everything else is easier too. You look at a distribution like a Red Hat or what's the one that's built off of Red Hat or used to be Mandrake.
Mandrake, yeah. With Red Hat, you have all the RPMs, you know, the Red Hat packet modules, which you can just load things in with, you know, kind of a whole Sun implementation. You know, really like Sun Solaris, when you get something from Sun, it comes as a single package, and you just install the package, it takes care of the rest for you. And Red Hat tried to copy that with their RPMs. But I haven't heard of anything like that. How do you support that, something like Slackware? Can you run an RPM in Slackware?
They've got, there's a program called Alien or something that tries to convert an RPM into, okay, Slackware doesn't have what is looked upon as a really good package management system. I happen to think it's fantastic because it is the most bare-bones package system out there. It's got, like unfortunately, you can't just go to most of the websites for the software you're looking for and find a Slack pack for it. You have to – there's a place. It's linuxpackages.net, and it's really awesome, but it's kind of disjointed. It's not set up so well. It almost seems like it looks like it's set up to where, like, individual people build packages and put them out there and then submit their, you know, their link to their packages, which is never a whole lot of them, to linuxpackages.net, and they just link to them. And they have a nice little search, you know, engine there for them, so you can look through and find what you need really quick. But a lot of the times the servers are slow, you know, or they're not up. And fuck, the package I got for Zion last week, you know, the video player, the guy, I don't know what he did to it, but it doesn't support the image that comes up on Zion. That's like, you know, okay, when you run Zion, it has like the little player window, then like the little control box. Okay, well, in the little window, it has, like, a Zion logo, right? Well, that's, like, a video file that this guy didn't put in support for. So every time I fire up Zion, it pops an error and tells me it does not support, you know, this type of file, and it happens to be the logo file for Zion. That's pretty weak.
It is kind of weak.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, there's worse things out there. It doesn't really bother me too much, but, it's the thing of it is you can go out and compile from source, and the problem is you know, you play hell trying to track down where it installs all these files to sometimes. I mean, it's just, it's a mess to track this stuff down, especially with really big software. You know, these monolithic projects, these huge projects that people have, and they install shit all over your system. You can't keep track of it. Slackware uses they call them Slack Packs, and it's basically like, it's just a tarred and gzipped file with some information in there of where to put all the stuff, and it tracks the, there's a thing called PKG tool, it's a package tool, and it keeps track of where all this stuff is, and it makes it really easy to install and remove your packages and all. But, you know, pre-compiled binaries aren't going to be just, you know, they're not going to be perfect and then fast enough on your system compared to as if you built them yourself, but at least you can keep track of them. That's a good idea, but I know, you can't make any other side happy. If they decided that everybody's going to go with RPMs, everybody but Red Hat people are going to be pissed.
Yeah.
You know, that's the downside, is you can't, I don't know why. I mean, you're right, that's exactly right. They are all on the same side, and sometimes I think they forget that. Have you heard of, are you familiar with how Debian does its updates? This is something else. This is amazing. Check this out. It's you just type in apt get, and then the package name, and bam, it connects to their servers, downloads the shit, and installs it, and all the things it's dependent on.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I'd say standardize on that.
I know, huh? That's a really good system.
Like, better than .NET, you know?
Way better than Microsoft's. Way better than Microsoft's plans.
Yeah, well, .NET, the funny thing about .NET, I don't want to get on a tangent about that, but it's Microsoft keeps changing what it is.
They keep changing the name, too.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. I really don't. I'm trying to stay as far away from it as I can. Well, maybe not, just because we should try to stick to games. Unless you can tie it into games somehow.
Not really.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk about it later. But, let's see. I had a couple other interesting things to talk about here. Xbox is supposed to drop prices this week again.
For real?
For real. And I don't know if they're going to do it here in the U.S., but in the U.K. they're dropping prices down to GameCube levels. Well, that's fine, but it'll up their installed base.
That's true. I mean, well, they're suffering at 16% right now. They need to get that up.
Hey, they're still a little bit ahead of Nintendo, though, with the Cube.
14%.
Yeah. They need to...
How little Nintendo is offering, it should be a lot larger than that.
Yeah, it should be, but I don't think they're delivering the games that people want anymore.
That's true.
People want their Twisted Metal games. People want their Final Fantasies and stuff. You know, and while we all want to play, you know, the new Mario from, you know, the geniuses at Nintendo, and we all want to play the new Zelda, and we want to get our hands on Metroid, and everybody wants to play, you know, Mario Kart, and we've been playing these for years already.
But at the same time, you know, Nintendo's the baby corporation here. They're the little people. I can't see why Microsoft can't make better products.
I think their product is fine. I think the Xbox is the best, hardware-wise, is the best console out there. I mean, come on. Built-in network card, hard drive.
Well, I'm not talking hardware, I'm talking games. You know, sure, Xbox has the best hardware in it, but we're talking what games are out there. You know, right now, PlayStation has some of the hottest titles out there, and, you know, Nintendo's got some great titles, too. Xbox suffers with the unique titles.
I hate to admit this, but I don't think I've turned on my Xbox in at least 3 weeks.
There's nothing to play. I go to Blockbuster to go rent a video game, and all the games I want to rent are in the PS2 aisle. I'll look in the Xbox aisle, and if there's a game in there I want to rent, it's also in the PS2 aisle. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
I can think of maybe one or two Xbox exclusive titles I'd like to play.
And you know in a short time those are going to be brought over to the PS2 anyway. Like, look at Splinter Cell.
Oh, yeah.
That was supposed to be a huge game. I couldn't stand it, but everybody else in the world seemed to like it. You know, and now that it's not Xbox exclusive anymore, it's out on the PlayStation, and, you know, there's one less reason to buy an Xbox again. And Halo 2 sure isn't a reason to buy an Xbox, you know?
I'll tell you what. You know, Microsoft could get everyone out there to buy an Xbox if they got an exclusive on Ghost.
Ooh, that's a good one, huh?
I tell you, I would buy one tomorrow. I don't have an Xbox right now, and I would go out tomorrow and buy one if Ghost was coming out for it.
Especially if they were only $150 if they'd do this price drop like they want to.
Fuck yeah.
Hell, I might even want to buy a second one and mod it so I can play the other one on live.
Yeah. I mean, Ghost will be it. You know, the thing is, I don't know if anyone out there knows about this, but Vivendi, which owns Blizzard, is selling Blizzard, as well as another one of the corporations. They're trying to sell the package deals. And, yeah, I think they're asking for a ridiculous amount of money.
Of course they are.
Because Blizzard's huge.
Blizzard can ask for whatever they want.
I guess, from what I hear, Microsoft is thinking about it. And everyone figured Microsoft would be thinking about it. A few other people are talking about it, too. Like, EA might end up buying Blizzard. But if Microsoft purchased Blizzard, they could throw out all these titles as just Xbox titles, and that would secure them in the market. Because all they need is just one good developer to really release some good stuff.
And they've got one, though. They just bought Rare.
Well, what is Rare release so far?
Jack shit, a whole lot of nothing, fuck all.
Yeah. If they got to get something out, I mean, it's, you know, they bought Bungie, they released Halo, and I mean, I know you like Halo, but let's just say Halo got a lot of really mixed reviews.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Everybody that played Halo either loves it or hates it. And I'm actually kind of stuck in the middle. It's weird. If you go to some of the, like, I think I even saw a poll over at gamers.com. And it was, you know, 1 through 10 rate Halo. And it was like there was 50% of the votes for a 10, 50% of the votes for 1. And it's not quite that solid. I mean, there was a few 2s and 3s and whatnots in there, I'm sure. But you know, just, this was a while back. I checked it out. And I was kind of blown away. This was before I bought it. I checked it out even. And, you know, I liked it. It was fun, but it's not the end-all, be-all of gaming like they make it out to be.
Yeah, compare that to 95% for Grand Theft Auto 3.
Holy shit. That's right, huh? I mean, but...
Well, it's Grand Theft Auto 3, you know. I'd say it was a great, very well-done game, you know?
Definitely.
And the fact that it was just a PlayStation 2 and PC, you know, game. And it didn't even come for the PC for like 2 years after it came out for the PlayStation 2. I mean, that, you know, Rockstar really helped the PlayStation 2 there.
Yeah, they did. Because, you know what, honestly, there's nothing, for me, there's nothing else on the PlayStation except for the role-playing games, which apparently is enough for me, because seeing as how the only 5 games I own for the PlayStation 2 are RPGs, you know, I was talking about this earlier about how, you know, I like the Japanese RPGs much more than the American RPGs, but we're getting Vice City for the PC here real soon. Oh, you already have it.
I can't play it on the PC.
I forgot you already had it on your PlayStation, but I didn't buy it because I played Grand Theft Auto 3 and got bored of it after a little while. So I don't know, everybody tells me that Vice City's so much better, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll check it out on the PC, but I won't. Hopefully, they'll release a demo or something.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Flying around the helicopter was awesome. Riding on motorcycles is great. All the weapons, they had like three times as many weapons in the five videos they did in the first one.
Damn.
Yeah, the missions were more interesting. And then they had the whole thing where you could buy property. You actually buy locations. Like you could buy a printing press and then you start printing money. Or you could buy a strip bar and you can go there and get lapped in. You could buy, all different kinds of things like that. You bought an ice cream shop and you were selling drugs out of it. And, just things like that.
No way! I didn't know you could do all that stuff in Vice City.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And there are missions based around it and stuff, but, you cost so much to purchase a piece of property. And then once you finished all the missions on the piece of property that you purchased, it would start collecting cash for you and you could go back every now and then and pick up money.
That's awesome. But, you know, I refuse to pay for it because I have a bad feeling I'll get bored of it real soon. So maybe I'll use my points on my Sony card for it for free.
There you go.
I've almost got enough. I think I've got like 4,000 points, and I was just checking out the site like a couple hours ago, and it's only like 5,000 points.
I have to say that I played Grand Theft Auto 3 on the PC, and I played it on the PlayStation 2. And I would say that when you're just a guy running around, I'd rather be on a PC because of the mouse control. But when you're driving a car, it's a lot more fun on the stick.
Huh.
It's not as much fun on the keyboard to be driving around. When you're driving around the controller, it's a lot more fun.
Maybe you'll have to check it out on the PC when it comes out and let us know what you think is better overall.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. I'll try to pick up the PC version, I guess. Check it out. Because, you know, we know how those mysteriously appear. Yeah, and weird stuff happens. It's like, you know, the game elves come into my house at night when I'm sleeping or at work and deliver games somehow. And you know, I don't know how they got here, but you know, it's pretty cool to check them out before I buy them.
Yeah, it's great. You know, not that we don't support piracy.
Definitely
but,
not.
But you know, it's just nice.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of though, I wanted to talk about the mod chip some more. We kind of lost track after I was reading off that story. You ordered the mech. Did you ever figure out where those guys come from?
No, I haven't. I'll check up on that. But
you didn't get an email yet?
I did. Look at it right now.
Or look up there who is on whatever site you got it from.
This is information. You know what? Plus one is the phone number. Yeah, they're not from here.
Oh, okay.
From here.
Okay, well that's actually kind of good to know because now I'm pretty sure that, you know, you won't get burned.
Okay. Yeah, I just spent up to $77. It would suck to lose that.
Yeah, it would suck to lose that. Good luck soldering that motherfucker on.
You know, I mean, I'll probably destroy my PlayStation 2. I'll give it a shot.
22 wires you gotta solder on there? Oh my god.
I got the clip, it's only 9 wires.
Oh, that's right. Huh, that's right. The clip thing. That's cool. I'm very curious to see how that goes. It works a lot better than that flip top method they've got.
Oh yeah.
Where you
buy
the boot CD and pop it out.
Pretty straightforward. I mean, you just have like a thing and you have like a big old like circuit board. You just got a bunch of wires coming out of it, and you solder them on all these different points on the board, and they're not really close together, so it looks like it's not going to be that difficult. Going to be a relatively simple operation from that standpoint. The only thing is the parts are really, really small, so I'm going to have to sit there, like, take a deep breath, try to calm myself down, and I'm not shaking, you know, just make the solder connections really gently.
Yeah, definitely, definitely be careful. And earlier this week when everybody was wrapped up in the Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball nude patch pole hype, yeah, you know, when everybody was hooked on the forums and stuff, I did a lot of looking around on some of these Xbox, you know, sites about modding and all this stuff, and I was trying to figure out what version of an Xbox I've got, and I think after I've done everything short of open it up, just because I'm not so sure I want to do that yet, after reading everything I could, there's actually a lot to it to try to figure out what the hell version of an Xbox you got. I'm pretty sure that I've got the version 1.0 Xbox. So, Wolf, now that you're in China, and I'm sure you're probably listening to this, you know what versions of the mod chips to get for me. And we have to thank Wolf because, you know, because of him, I'm able to call you.
He is risking SARS right now to bring back.
That's right. He's probably over there right now walking around with a mask on, trying to dig through all the parts and the computer chips and all the software and shit they got over there, being very careful of people that are coughing and walking near him and touching him and whatnot.
I'm just imagining an outbreak where they had all suits on and trying not to cut the suits so they don't get infected.
And there's our boy Wolf in the middle of it all, trying to grab all kinds of fucking crazy shit from China. Hopefully he'll have a little luck with that and be able to maybe find some mod chips for the PlayStation and the Xbox or something for us. It's just something cool to play with. My whole thing is I want to play the import games. You know, I'm not so big on these downloaded pirate games for consoles and shit. I don't care about that. But, it'd be neat to try to just make a copy of one just to see if you could do it. Maybe, I don't know.
It's surprising what these people would go through to get out of something. For example, like the whole Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, I bet there's people out there who never dreamed of cracking open their Xbox beforehand, and they probably just spent $300 in chips and accessories and weird clips and stuff just to destroy their Xbox, buy a new one that's pre-modded, so they can go in, change the hard drive settings, and get their, get the new patch in for the Extreme Beach Volleyball, when they really could look up porn online.
You're probably right. You know, because a lot of people haven't heard that you can, I mean, people are just ignorant. They don't know that you can, you know, do these kind of modifications and stuff. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. People out there aren't, you know, they're not too clued into what's going on a lot of the time. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I know everything. I mean, that's for damn sure. I don't know a damn thing compared to, you know, if I just looked around a little bit, but it's like, you know, I spend a lot of time looking around for information that, you know, just like weird stuff that you don't see like on the nightly news and shit. You learn a lot of stuff that way.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, who cares about Hollywood stars and their haircuts and their clothes and who got married to who and how much it costs for the fucking wedding?
Dream world would be where the headline of CNN.com wasn't, guess who won the Grammys. It's going to be, guess what mod chip came out.
No shit, huh? That's for damn sure. Did you play anything cool on your PlayStation this week, or on the PC, maybe other than Warcraft?
I play War of the Monsters every time I get friends over. I'd have to say it's the best party game for the PlayStation 2 that I've ever played. It's not much fun all by yourself. It's okay. It's got some interesting missions, but with friends, it's only two player. But you throw in maybe one or two computer players as well, and it's actually more fun than I can even describe. You can sit there for 10 hours and just play it. The best part is you tear apart buildings, break off radio towers, impale them on your enemies, and you know. I mean, you can break off radio towers. You can throw them like a javelin and they'll impale the opponent, and he'll sit there and like try to pull it out of his chest while he's doing that. He's kind of incapacitated. You can beat the crap out of him while he's doing that.
Nice.
And he pulls out his chest. He can throw it back at you. Pick up gas truck. Everything. The whole environment is usable. You get all these special moves. You can do that. You got these meters to charge up on. Two of the monsters can fly.
Whoa.
One's a dragon, one's like this bug. Giant bug.
Have you played Godzilla Destroy All Monsters?
No.
I played that on Hunter's GameCube, and that was a lot of fun. It sounds just like this.
Might be just like a ripoff. You know, they could be kind of the same game.
Could be. Maybe they try to rent that. I think they have that for the PS2. Try to rent that just if you see it, and let me know what you think about it.
Because I know a lot of people are saying a lot of good things about War of the Monsters, so I can see a lot of ripoffs coming out. It's basically like the new Rampage. That's what it is.
Yeah, totally.
Way back when.
Totally. Rampage was a classic, dude. I pumped so many quarters into those arcade machines back in the day. I haven't played a whole lot this week because I was messing with the server and then I had to get ready to go down to Chico and stuff. I didn't get a chance to play shit. And I can't believe this, but I still can't beat Xenosaga. I'm stuck. It's like so unbalanced where I'm at right now. I the regular enemies are killing my entire party.
I don't know. I mean, I could, you know, as much as you give good reviews about the game, I think it's one of those things where they should have just released it as an anime movie.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. That would have been amazing. But it's really, really a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed this game, and I'm just kind of, I mean, this far to the end, you know, I've got two levels left, and the regular enemies are kicking my ass. So now I got to spend all this time just wandering around getting levels and stuff just to get through the level. It's just a bit unbalanced, a little bit more unbalanced than I thought it could possibly be. But I'm telling you, dude, this game is awesome. And after that, I don't even know what I'm going to play yet, because I haven't put much thought into it, because I don't think I'm ever going to beat Xenoslug. I'm going to be stuck here forever. That's how it feels, anyway.
I'm still stuck on Golden Sun on the Game Boy Advance. I never knew I had this much fun on Portable.
I told you, man, I played that shit so long, and you know what else is fun? Go back down to EB or Best Buy, and after you're done with Golden Sun and Golden Sun 2, pick up the two Zelda games for the Game Boy Color they released just a little bit ago, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, and play Seasons first. Dude, those games are incredibly fun.
I was playing the Link to the Past. It's just a direct port of the Super Nintendo game, which disappointed me, actually, because I know that Game Boy Advance is a lot more powerful than Super Nintendo. I feel like we should have gotten a little more value out of it.
Well, they added that the four swords thing for the multiplayer, which I don't know how much playability that has. And you know what? They changed the voice, though. Did you notice that the voices, the sounds of Link on A Link to the Past are from the Wind Waker?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they suck now. He sounds like a little-ass kid. But, of course, he was a kid in that one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Wolf has it also. He has that one. Maybe when you come up here, we're going to have to see some... if you come up here, we'll have to see some multiplayer action on Zelda.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know what it is? We need to go down and see you.
Yeah. come down here for E3.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, we can all afford that. That would be so awesome, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, out there, everyone out there, donate your money to us.
Yeah, really. We need to go to E3.
We need to go to E3.
You know, last year, for E3 2002, GamerWeb.com, they were selling videos. Like, it's an hour and a half long. They were videos. I'm not sure how much they were, probably $20, of footage from E3 2002. I definitely think this year I'm going to have to pick up the 2003 edition. Hopefully they'll make one still.
Could you imagine walking in and playing Doom 3?
I think I would mess myself.
Meeting John Carmack.
That's the thing. I was just going to say, I think I would. It'd be more just amazing to meet Carmack than to see Doom 3. Okay, that it actually had it right here. It's $22 in the USA and Canada for NTSC format. Of that DVD. It's the E3 2002 one. I'm going to have to check that out if they make a 2003 one.
The funny thing is, it's not open to the general public, so you have to finagle something to get in. But I'm sure you can come up with some stuff. You know?
We'll have no trouble with that, I assure you. All the fake business names and shit we've got and all that weird stuff, and you've even got the licenses for one.
Oh, yeah. So, we are in the gaming industry, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. You haven't heard of us yet? Are you in the game industry? We'll ask them.
I thought you said you were in the gaming industry. You haven't heard of HWHQ Radio?
Hold on, I'm taking a drink here. Fill up some space.
Okay. Let's see, The Sims. I wanted to talk about this. I didn't really get too much play out of The Sims. I thought it was fun. I thought it was addictive. For those of you that haven't ever heard of The Sims, basically, it's Game of Maxis, and I don't know if you've been hiding under a rock or something, because it's one of the most popular games in history right now. You basically create a character, and you control everything this character does. You tell him to take a crap, you tell him to clean up after himself, you tell him to get something out of the fridge, you tell him to cook his food, you tell him to play video games on his computer. It's one of those quandaries where you're sitting there watching your character play video games on his computer.
That kind of tricked me.
They keep releasing expansion packs for it that allow you to do more and more things. But the funny thing was, all the things you could do up till now was something that people do anyway. Like, everyone takes a crap, everyone cooks themselves, everyone, you know, or goes to Jack Box or whatever, you know. It was stuff that everyone does. You know, they had a patch where you could go to coffee shops, you could go on a date. I mean, you know, you could just out there and go on dates every now and then.
And the jobs.
And it's funny because they released the new expansion released recently, which is called Superstar, and probably the first time I've ever seen it where you can do stuff that the ordinary people don't normally do. You can be a star. You could be a rock star. You could be an actor. You could be a supermodel.
That's pretty cool.
I guess. I never got into the Sims too much because it got so repetitive at the end. You're just like, well, this is ridiculous. But it's surprising how many people play, and And the fact that The Sims Online is drawing a huge audience at this point, so...
It's not that big, though. They only sold, like... I think it's still under 100,000 copies sold.
That's it?
Yeah!
Oh, okay.
You didn't listen to the last show, did you?
I heard it sold a lot more than that, but I was... yeah, I'm reading figures. So.
Yeah, it's...
Max, of course, plays off as the number one online game, but everyone says they're the number one online game.
And guess what? Did you listen to the last episode of this show? Okay, yeah, they gave The Sims Online, they gave it, let's see, what the hell is that, massively multiplayer online game of the year.
Yeah, but the whole voting thing, which you were talking about in the show, I did listen to that.
Oh, okay, you did hear, yeah, it's complete bullshit, but...
All you out there, if you're wondering what we're talking about, just listen to the last show, you should anyway.
Yeah. Use up some of that bandwidth, come on, I got plenty of it for the time being. That's right. Huge stars.
We'll be big time.
Yeah.
We'll be superstars.
Yeah, and didn't you talk about that in your comic this week? Or yesterday, maybe? Sometime this week, right?
Yeah, we had a comic on The Sims. Check it out. For those of you that haven't checked out my comic yet, it's www.cyberslackers.net. That's CYBER/slackers.net.
You might be coming across a little fuzzy on the phone. It's cyberslackers.net. I'll put a link up on there, too. It's already on the links page, and it's on the front page every so often. It's really good stuff, really funny. Your comments on the bottom are great, too. That makes the damn comic, man. It's like I don't know, the art is friggin' fantastic. I saw the art for today's, too, and I was loving it.
Yeah, it took the artist, it's me and another guy, the artist to spend over 3 hours drawing today's comic.
Jesus. Good work, Dar.
Good job, man.
Yeah, I'm really happy. It's really funny. It's cool. Check that shit out. Let's see here. You know what?
The door. Can you still see?
Some of the... I got to check out Return to Castle Wolfenstein on the Xbox with the demo disc that came with the Xbox magazine this month. I fired it up with great hopes. I was hoping it was going to be just something fantastic that blew me away. And since I'd played it on the PC, like right when it first came out, you know, I mean, I got it like that first day, and I played it and I beat it in a week and never looked back. I think I tried to play it online for maybe a week. I played here and there, and I didn't really care for it online. So I stopped playing it altogether. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of that game, single player, though. It was just fantastic. And this one, I think it's called Tides of War, I'm sure. I don't remember what they called it now. But, Tides of War. Return to Castle Wolfenstein, Tides of War. The demo's got two levels that were from the PC version. So it's the same levels that we had on the PC. And, I mean, it runs fantastic. I have to give them credit for that. I mean, the game runs perfectly smooth. I remember when I was playing it on the PC, it ran at 100 frames per second solid, and that was, like, it's limited, you know, so, like, it can't go any higher, but it would. And on the Xbox, it's really fast and really smooth, and the control is decent enough. I couldn't quite rearrange, if I remember right, I couldn't change the key. Maybe I could change the keys to what I wanted to on this one. There's a couple demos you can't change the keys to, and it really gets annoying. Don't remember what it was with the controls for this. They were kind of weird, though. Like, some of the buttons that you would use a lot, they used the black and white keys for, and I thought that was just a little uncomfortable. But the two levels they gave us were the same from the piece from the PC version, which kind of sucked. I mean, the only thing is don't they only have, like, two levels new in the Xbox version?
I haven't heard too much about that, but I thought it was on the cover of Xbox Magazine.
Yeah, that's... I got the demo here. It's just not anything very special. I mean, and you know, actually, the coolest thing on this demo disc is this month really sucked. That's it. You get one playable demo this month. But they have a couple. They have like six videos on it. And one of the videos was Sudeki, however the hell you're supposed to pronounce that. S-U-D-E-K-I, Sudeki? Sudeki, probably. Fuck it. Anyway, it looks awesome. That RPG for the Xbox. Battered. Well, Halo's still selling like mad.
Halo 2's gonna kick ass.
Yeah, I'll buy that, I'm sure, on the first day. I'll try to get me a copy, and I'll be pissed because I can't get one.
I'm gonna have this summer.
Yeah, it'll be worth getting, I think.
I don't think we'll delay it. I don't think Microsoft's going to force it out because Microsoft's hurting right now. I was looking at their budget, and it's, you know, the only thing that's really showing a huge profit right now is the operating system department. Almost everything else is losing money, and probably the worst right now is the games department. It's losing lots and lots of money.
Definitely. Definitely. But hopefully we'll see some killer games coming from Rare, though.
They need to release something, you know, especially after Xbox threw $350 million at them.
I know. You know, there's some other good games coming out, though, that I wanted to play. Did you ever play Hunter the Reckoning?
I didn't.
It's kind of like it's a four-player simultaneous just kill. It's like Gauntlet. Think of it like Gauntlet. You just, like, except for you're set, like, in this world with a bunch of vampires and stuff. It's a lot of fun. You can play it four players at a time. The problem is when the other people suck. And the controls you couldn't change. I don't know if they make it for the PlayStation or not. But I had it on the Xbox, and I didn't keep it because it wasn't that great. My big complaint was you couldn't change the controls. And the controls were so bad for me, just the way that I wanted my controls set up, I couldn't play it otherwise. And me and Hooks and Wolf and Hunter actually got together and tried to play it, and we just couldn't do it. Everybody was so unorganized, and everybody was stealing everybody else's weapons, and it was still kind of fun, but we were kind of lost and didn't have a whole lot of direction. But they're remaking it. It's a whole new game. It's not like a remake. It's called Hunter the Reckoning Redeemer. It's still going to be the four-player hack-and-slash style. It takes place just 10 years after the first one. It's got the same characters, but older. A new guy. There's a new character, too, because there's only four. They said there's five in this one. There's 20 new... It said there was 20 new areas, and I don't know if that's just, like, tile sets or what. And what about the old stuff? Do they keep that, too? There's supposed to be over 40 ranged and melee attacks, 21 creature types, a better camera. That was actually a big complaint about the other one, was the camera. No Xbox Live support for playing with people, but there is downloadable content. So you might even see a new character here and there.
Okay. 21 different enemy types is not a lot.
Oh, I know.
20 levels? I mean, okay, it just sounds like they're trying to milk that for money. It doesn't sound like they're trying to change it around and make it a kick-ass game as it should be. Because, that style of game is great. People loved Gauntlet. People loved games like that. And a game like that could be great if they did it right.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully they add, like, a whole bunch of RPG elements, too, like with equipment. That'd be pretty awesome, but I don't think they did. It's straight killing everything and no regard for, you know, equipment. I mean, I don't want to get detailed in equipment. Just maybe like incremental upgrades you get, you know, just here and there would be kind of neat, you know. That'd be kind of cool. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like a whole bunch of new stuff. It almost sounds like a add-on. Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the best.
Along those same lines, I've been kind of keeping an eye on D&D Heroes, Dungeons & Dragons Heroes. Now, we both played Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
And had a great time playing it, but nobody played together. I played solo, you played solo, and Wolf hasn't played solo for a little bit.
I played Cool Hand, it was great.
This one's called Heroes. It's gonna be just, it's like the same thing. Think of along the same lines. Except for your characters, I guess, start out at level 5. A lot more action than RPG. Think, Gauntlet. Yeah, and the classes you get, there's four now. Oh, see, we stepped up from Dark Alliance from 3 to where we got a fighter, a wizard, a cleric, and a rogue now. Yeah, it might be neat to play a cleric so you can heal yourself, rather than carrying like 5 million healing potions around.
Yeah. I think it would even be better that you can make your character from scratch.
I know. I don't know why they don't do that. I don't know why they won't let us do that.
Maybe it's some sort of balance issue. They don't want to make a badass combo, but, I mean, let people do it. What the hell, you know? Maybe I want to play a monk, you know? I mean, maybe I want to play, a dwarven monk or something, you know, something crazy like that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a necromancer...
Yeah,
exactly, huh? You know, so your necromancer can have like just the world's highest intelligence. You know, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
But instead, we get these.
They could put all the velvets in there. It wouldn't be that hard to do. They just, I don't know, they're trying to make a quicker, easier, more accessible game, and I just don't like that.
Yeah, I don't care for that either. I want to see the stats and the details and every little thing there is that I can change and modify to make my character just like I want him.
Yeah. The real attraction of Might and Magic was the fact that you could make a whole party of characters from scratch just the way you want.
Definitely. That was the best. I mean, you could take that game on with 4 or 5 wizards if you wanted to, you know? That's so cool.
Well, yeah, you could get your ass kicked. But
In the beginning.
You could play just one guy if you wanted. I mean, it was your choice.
Yeah.
You had that flexibility, which was awesome. It created an open-ended feel to it. You know, you didn't feel like you're playing some sort of interactive movie. You felt like you're playing the game.
Yeah, you do. You get this real sense of freedom playing those games, you know? And why they don't do that with the console, I don't know. Do you remember playing Final Fantasy 1 back on the Nintendo, and you could make your whole party from, like, scratch? Remember, you picked your class and your name, too.
I never actually played Final Fantasy 1.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You're going to have to buy it here real soon, because Final Fantasy Origins, which is Final Fantasy 1 and 2, is coming out for the PlayStation here. I think any day, it might even be out now. I haven't checked up on it. And I guess they redid the graphics, dude, so don't worry about having 8-bit graphics. They're at least 16-bit now.
I think I'd still enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you would too. They fixed a lot of the play issues with it, like before. Like on the original Final Fantasy, if you know how you set up your team to attack one enemy, right? Like let's say you take two of your guys to fight one enemy, and the other two fight another enemy on the screen. Well, let's say the other enemy die. Okay, the first two guys that are attacking, let's say the first guy kills it. The second guy would not automatically attack the living creature. But they fixed... Yeah, that's lame, but they fixed that.
So they fixed the problems in the first one, so that, yeah, they made even a better game than that.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty...
One of the things, like, when I bought my Game Boy Advance, one of the first games I got was Eye of the Beholder.
Oh, you got that?
Yeah, I wanted to check it out. But I read the problem was that, okay, they didn't do anything to the game. If you ever played Eye of the Beholder for the PC way back when, it is a bad game. It's nothing else. Nothing's been changed. They just changed the keys work. You know, that's it. And they really didn't do that good a job of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But the interface is horrible.
Is it?
I mean, they just changed the interface around to work right. It would have been a great game.
That's too bad. Okay, check it out. I got it right here. Final Fantasy Origins comes out in 2 days, April 11th.
Oh, nice.
$30.
Friday.
Yeah. It'll only be $30 too. So that might be something. I'm buying it for sure. Hell, I might buy two.
One that you don't open up, one that you do, one that you do.
Well, I know Wolf will want one when he gets back. So.
Ah.
They're probably going to be a little hard to get a hold of for a while.
And charge him double for it.
Yeah, that's right. I'll trade him. Actually, I'll probably end up giving it to him for using all this time on his calling card. We've used up like 2 hours today.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be fair.
Yeah, you know, give him something to look forward to when he comes back, you know, too, because we were both talking about this, and if he picks up a version over there, it's going to be some weird hack, you know, version that doesn't work without a mod chip or something.
Yeah, I don't trust any of that Chinese stuff, you know.
All that weird pirate stuff they got over there? Yeah, I not too cool, so, you know. We'll have this waiting for him when he gets here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a head start on him just to piss him off a little bit.
But, you know, he'll just punch the cheat code in and get going.
You know what, though? When he played Final Fantasy 1, he loved walking around and leveling up his guys. When he beat that game, his guys were like level 99, just because he would sit around and do random battles all day. I kind of miss that.
There's that old idea where, like, you know, as you're just walking around the landscape and all of a sudden, bam, you're in a battle. I remember when I was playing Skies of Arcadia for the Dreamcast, which was a great game, by the way.
Yeah.
When they set up the battle, the way they set up is that it took so long to finish a battle, even against, like, tiny, you know, like, pizzy-ass opponents, that you would dread getting jumped running around. Because it could take a trip that should take you only 10 minutes. It could drag it out to half an hour.
Yeah, that did suck. One of the cool things about Xenosaga is there's no random battles. You can, like, sneak by enemies and they're on the map. Kind of like, what was that game that I liked so much? Grandia 2 on the Dreamcast. It was kind of like that. I like that system a lot. And you know, in Final Fantasy VI, they had an item that you could get and equip, and it would allow you to not have any random battles.
That's cool.
Yeah. Definitely cool. You know what I mean? It's like once you get to a certain point, you're just like, I can't fight anymore.
Yeah, I've leveled up enough, you know, especially if you're going through the newbie zone. It sucks to get, you know, you're running through like an area that you need to start, and you get jumped by some level 1 creature, and you're level, you know, 200. And you're just like, you know, I have to wait like 10 days, you have to wait like 2 minutes, kill this thing, and wait for this whole startup screen, play the intro music, you see your characters all appear on the battle screen, pop the characters up, all the enemies up, saying, oh, so-and-so appeared, so-and-so appeared, so-and-so appeared, you got the initiative, or whatever, you know, whatever battle scene they have, battle method they have set up.
That's, yeah, exactly, and God forbid somebody cast a spell.
Oh, yeah, and you'd spend 10 minutes watching the scene.
They need to have some kind of standard in there, it, like it needs to become standard where you can skip this crap.
Yeah, or have an auto-fight feature. You should be able to just say, it would give you a disadvantage to do it, but you should just be able to say auto-fight, and it would just calculate and say, okay, well, what are your chances of kicking this guy's ass? And especially if it's something that's really, really basic, really easy to kill, it's just, you know, figure it out, give you, like, you know, lower your hit points so much, kill whoever, and then just put you back in the game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, totally, totally. I meant skipping the spells at the very least, but definitely would be nice to have some kind of a take care of it all auto combat kind of, like, you know, they have stuff like that for Master of Orion 3, which tanked, by the way, a game I waited so fucking long for, because Master of Orion 2 was awesome, and Master of Orion 3 kind of sucks now.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, everything I've heard about, now granted, I haven't played it, but everything I've heard said it's about the same game, and, you know, they did a real shoddy job on the information this time. Like, before, I mean, like, you could click on anything, and you had this awesome, like, you know, really quick and fast system to where if you didn't know what something was, right-click it, bam, a little window pops up instantly, tells you exactly what it is, what it does, how much it costs, you know, what do you need for it. It was just beautiful. The manual broke everything down. Here they kind of, like, left it like a mystery, and, like, I mean, everything I've read about it sounds like they just kind of, like, threw this together and didn't give a shit about, you know, any of the information, the packaging, and just, bam, shipped it on out, even after all that time they took to make this fucking game. There's a trend I'd like to see go away.
Well, I mean, it seems like a lot of video games are stuck in sequelitis, you know. They keep trying to milk out the success of the previous game.
Which is not always a bad thing, though.
Well, it's not, but what sucks is when they destroy a perfectly good game, like Might and Magic. I mean, if they kept releasing good, fat Might and Magic, we would sit there in anticipation, oh, they're going to release one 3 months, it's coming out 3 months, we're getting a new Might and Magic, oh my god, you know? But then they just release a piece of crap just to milk it for money, you know?
I know. Final Fantasy IX was a joke. I mean, that was like a waste of time. It took me 5 days to go through that game just for the fact that I could do it. You know, I was like, well, you know, a new Final Fantasy, or a Might and Magic came out. I've got to try it out. It was so horrible, but I was like, well, I got to play it because I'm sure it can't be that bad. And, well, it was that bad.
But you meant Might and Magic, yeah, East of Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I meant Might and Magic.
By the way, that place I purchased the mod chip from is in Canada.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. Send me I think I know where that is. Okay, was that one of the links I sent you?
Consolesource.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out a little bit. You know what, I'm going to let you try it first so you can melt your PlayStation down.
I just dropped pieces of molten metal in there. I kind of like tinkering things. I mean, you know, I'd have to say even if I destroy it, I think it would be worth it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. If I had a little bit more money now to cover my loss, if I had enough money to just run down there and buy another one, I'd be all over it tomorrow. But you know what, though? If Wolf comes back with some or ships them over some, you know I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Just sitting there with your soldering pad, molten metal over here, you know?
I wouldn't be able to not do it.
I wonder if the place I could take it. Like, yeah, I know there's guys out there who are wizards with soldering pens. And hell, I live in San Diego. There's got to be somebody here who knows how to use a soldering pen better than me.
That's true, huh? Good point. Keep an eye out. Look around. Maybe head to the campus or something and start asking people. I don't know. Might meet some cool people to play games with there.
A major or something, you know, some guy's, electrical engineering major. Say, hey, you know, can you solder? Are you good at it?
Totally.
Can you help me out with it?
Totally, that's a good idea. And my dumbass, just because I wouldn't be able to do it, it's like all I can do to keep myself from cracking it open anyway, to check it out. Oh, shit. I wonder how long my PlayStation's been on. I didn't realize the lights were on.
I leave mine on for days sometimes.
Fuck, I don't notice the lights. I just realized it was been on. It's been on since at least yesterday sometime.
I left the game paused for 4 days on.
How did you manage that?
I hit pause and I turned off the TV and I got stuck in video games on my PC for like 4 days and doing other things. And I came back to it later and I was like, oh shit. You know, I left it on.
Oh my god.
And it was still fine. It hadn't crashed or anything. It was just
yeah. There. That's cool. You know, the Xbox has a feature to turn itself off after 6 hours of inactivity. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I guess that hurts those people that are trying to, like, you know, pause their football games and go to sleep.
Yeah, huh.
On Xbox Live so they can get a win.
Yeah, exactly, huh. Keep them from doing that.
Exactly.
All right, well, I think that's it for this week. We gotta get Wolf on the show while he's in China at least once, and I'm gonna shoot for 2 times.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear what's going on down there as far as the console situation and the black market situation from China.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. I totally want to get the hook, you know, the 411 on that shit. You know, I mean, how cool is that gonna be? That'll be a cool show.
This is us bringing in the for you viewers, for you listeners out there.
Listen, yeah.
We go through great lengths to find this information. You know, it's no mystery that the dangers we endure to bring you the information. It's a personal sacrifice, and we hope you appreciate it.
That's right. We had to send somebody to China for this information, okay? We packed his ass up in a box, Federal Expressed his ass to Hong Kong overnight in a plane full of rubber dog shit to get him there to get this report to you.
He's braving disease and unsafe water.
That's right, he's fighting off SARS and fucking purifying his own water, sitting, living out in the jungle.
Yep.
You better appreciate this. Alright, we're done.
But tune in next week, we'll probably have him in so we can get the lowdown on that and always bring you the information first.
Definitely. Hasta.